I will call the remote hearing of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee to order. Today is April 5th, 2022. This meeting is held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which was passed and allows for remote hearing. Hold on. All remote hearings are recorded and live streamed by House Public Information. Members, I've been receiving texts that several members are having difficulty with computer connections, so we're going to try to proceed the best we can and make do. The clerk will take attendance by roll.
Chair Hansen is present. Vice Chair Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz present.
Wasilewicz present. Lead Heinzman is joining now. Representative Acomb.
Present.
Acomb present. Representative Ackland.
Present.
Ackland present. Representative Backer.
Backer present.
Backer present. Representative Becker Finn.
Becker Finn present.
Becker Finn present. Representative Eklund.
Present.
Eklund present. Representative Fisher.
Fisher present.
Fisher present. Representative Green.
Present.
Green present. Representative Igo.
Igo present.
Igo present. Representative Jordan.
Present.
Jordan present. Representative Keeler.
Present.
Keeler present. Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Lee present. Representative Lippert.
Lippert present.
Lippert present. Representative Lewick.
Lewick present.
Lewick present. Representative Morrison.
Morrison present.
Morrison present. Representative Nelson.
Nelson present.
Nelson present.
Say aye.
Representative Tice.
Tice present.
Tice present. And Representative Heinzman.
Present.
Present. All right. Thank you. We have everyone.
A quorum is present. Representative Lewick, would you like to move the minutes from April 1st?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lewick moves the minutes for April 1st, 2022.
All Mr. Chair?
All those in favor? Representative Wasilewicz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to note on the last line of the first page of the minutes, this is just a grammar correction. The word it's is the wrong version of the word it's. So I don't know if that needs to be corrected, but I just wanted to point that out in case it does.
Representative Lewick, your motion is to make sure that the minutes are grammatically correct, correct?
Certainly would include that minor correction.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes are approved. Next up, we are going to have a walkthrough of the DE amendment to House File 4492. This is the Omnibus Environment and Natural Resources Committee. No action will be taken today. The deadline to submit amendments to the DE4 are electronically to the committee administrator, Peter Strohmeyer, 1 p.m. on Wednesday. So about 24 hours from today. Amendments will be posted shortly after. On Thursday, April 7th, the committee will take public testimony, mark up the bill, and vote. If you wish to testify, contact Peter Strohmeyer at house.mn and copy Scotland Cracker house.mn by 6 p.m. Wednesday, April 6th. If you plan to submit written testimony, please send it to Peter Strohmeyer at house.mn. Written testimony will be accepted on the DE if submitted by 1 p.m. April 6th. Written testimony on amendments to the DE will be accepted if submitted by 6 p.m. Wednesday, April 6th. I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Wasilewicz. Go from there.
All right, Representative Hansen, please present the DE4 amendment to House File 4492.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to have Ms. Taylor and Mr. Hagemeyer walk through the DE4.
All right, it looks like Mr. Hagemeyer is up first. Go ahead, Mr. Hagemeyer.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, I will start the presentation. I'm going to share my screen so you can see the spreadsheet, hopefully here. Can everyone see the tracking sheet?
Yep, we can see it.
Okay. So this is for the DE4, and it does have comparisons to the governor's columns. So generically speaking, the governor's recommendation for the current biennium is this set of this column right here. The tails biennium, next biennium 24 and 25 is right here. I've collapsed the, this is the same document that is posted, but I've collapsed some of the columns to make it larger for presenting so you guys can see. So these are the biennial totals. This is the DE4 right here, basically, fiscal year 22, 23, and then the biennial total. So these are all the current biennium appropriations. The change from the governor's revised recommendation, here's a biennial total of what's included in the DE4 for the tails biennium. Under each agency, you'll see some amounts like this listed. This is the base amount from the general fund for each agency. And then the salmon colored boxes under each one has the change items that are included in the DE4 or under governor's recommendation for each agency. With that, I will proceed going to line 13. You'll see the first change item is at the pollution control agency. That was a governor's recommendation to accelerate pollution prevention at small businesses for $2 million that was not included in the DE4. Line 14 is the adaptation action grants and water storage. The governor had $54 million in fiscal year 23 and $333,000 per year ongoing. The DE4 includes $10 million of one-time money and $133,000 ongoing. On line 15, you'll see the agency operating increase out of the general fund is $38,000 per year. Down below, I'll show you some more changes out of the environmental fund and the remediation fund also are operating increase. And I should note, if you're looking at the bill language, the DE4 does it a little bit differently than the governor's recommendation did. The governor's bill amended 2021 session law to include all these amounts. The DE4 has a rider with the agency operating increases in it and directs the agency to move them where they're needed and then inform the chairs where they belong. On line 16, you'll see creating a community-based brownfield grant program for $1 million. This was a governor's recommendation and it is included in the DE4. On line 17 and 18, you'll see two PFAS things that were included in the governor's recommendation. There are $500,000 for a baseline condition study, which is not included in the DE4. And then line 18 was $2 million for community grants. That is included in the DE4. On line 19, you see technical assistance and grant funding for wastewater treatment systems. This was a governor's recommendation of $2.175 million. It is not included in the DE4. On line 20, there's technical assistance for environmental review of $600,000 that was not included in the DE4. On line 21 is waste prevention, recycling grants and loans. The governor had $18.923 million one time for this purpose. The DE4 includes $10 million for this purpose. On line 22, you'll see the St. Louis River Mercury TMDL availability extension. It was set to expire on June 30th of this year. In effect, both the House and governor are doing the same thing, but to comply with the budget rules, we cancel this appropriation and reappropriate it. It nets to zero, but you'll see $50,000 of spending here and you'll see $50,000 of revenue down below. And then we come to a number of House provisions starting on line 23. You'll see a couple of things related to Pig's Eye Landfill. There's $1.8 million appropriation one time, of which $800,000 is for the task force that was heard in the bill earlier. And then there's $1 million for preliminary cleanup assessment. On line 26 is a petroleum tank release cleanup report for $50,000. There's line 27 as the feedlot permit financial assistance and inventory for $250,000 per year, like ongoing. On line 28 is county grants for abandoned feedlot and manure storage reports of $100,000 one time. On line 29, Minnesota Association of County Feedlot Officers training for $250,000 one time. On line 30 is multifamily building composting grant pilot program of $5 million. On line 31, you'll see the first of a couple of provisions related to environmental justice. This would be Representative Lee's House File 3146. This bill fully funds the fiscal note for that. It takes the first year, fiscal 23, and appropriates $9,080,000 from the general fund. And then you'll see in 24, it appropriates $8.9 million from the environmental fund, from the balance in the fund. And then starting in 25, the revenues kick in that offset the expenditures of $8.6 million. And I'll show those down below. On line 32 is statewide air quality monitoring program for $5 million. On line 33 is the air monitoring equipment for $540,000. On line 34 is the air monitoring community grants for $500,000. And then 35 is air emissions rulemaking for $500,000. And those are all related to the amendment to House File 3146. On line 36, you'll see a list of Swan Protection Act, get the lead out. The bill that was heard earlier had a number of provisions. You'll see, I'll explain some down below in the DNR as well, but this appropriates $1 million per year for the get the lead out program at the Pollution Control Agency. On line 37 and 38 are the seed disposal requirements. There's $175,000 one time for rulemaking, and then $100,000 per year ongoing for enforcement of those provisions. On line 39 are micro and nanoplastics testing and protocols. It's $2 million to the agency to develop these. On line 40, there are zero waste provisions of $1.5 million. In total, there's $50,933,000 of general fund to the Pollution Control Agency. Starting on line 43, you'll see the environmental fund changes. The operating increase is $4.167 million per year. This was a governor's change item that was included in the DE4. Line 44 is increasing capital assistance program grants for local governments for $17,000. This was a governor's change item that was included. On line 45 is restrict cadmium and lead in certain consumer products of $74,000 per year. This was a governor's change that was included. On line 46, the governor had recommendations for solar panel recycling. It was a statutory revenue and expenditure program that is not included in the DE4. On line 47 is carpet product stewardship. This is a report provision that was included in the bill last year that didn't become law, so it's $150,000 one time. On line 48, you'll see rules adoption for PFAS water quality standards. Again, this was a provision that was carried last year that did not become law, $452,000. On line 49 and 50, you'll see appropriations related to the PFAS requirements. There's a number of PFAS bills heard this year that had all very similar fiscal notes for related work. Some of the effective dates and things changed, but this appropriates $181,000 in fiscal 23, $362,000 in each year thereafter, and $66 of that may be transferred to the Department of Health each year. On line 51 is the appropriation for the disclosure of PFAS product bill, and this funds it at the fiscal note level. On line 52 is a public hearing requirements for lead violations. This was a provision that was carried in the bill last year. It's $48,000 per year. On line 53, you'll see the other portion of the environmental justice that I had talked about. It's collapsed here, but fiscal 24 would be $8.9 million, and then it's $8.6 million roughly in 25 and thereafter. And then I'll show the revenues in a minute. In total, there's $5.4 million of environmental fund changes. On line 56 and 58, you'll see operating increases. The petroleum tank release cleanup fund flows into the remediation fund, so it's basically the sum of those two, but it goes towards that program. And then line 57 is a railroad safety FTE that was a governor's recommendation of $133,000 per year, and it is included in the DE4. On line 61 and 62, you'll see special revenue changes. The governor had to expand smart salting training. It was a statutory appropriation related to the revenues on it, and that is not included in the DE4. And then on line 62, and I'll show this in the revenues as well, the agency is creating a special account for administering the brownfields program, and that is included in the DE4. And that's a statutory appropriation there. In total, the PCA changes, appropriation changes, are just under $58 million. The revenues for Pollution Control Agency start on the next page here. The solar panel recycling was not included, so the revenues are not there. The environmental justice, you'll see that $8.6 million starts kicking in fiscal year 25. The agency had a reporting change related to 3M reporting. It just has a savings basically of $1,000 per year. The smart salting training revenue, again, is not included there. On line 71 and 72 are that new account created for the brownfield program, and that's just how the revenue flows. And then the Petra Fund operating increase comes into the remediation fund. And then line 74, as I was saying, that cancel that appropriation and reappropriate it to comply with the budget rules. Moving on, we get to the Department of Natural Resources. Again, these are all the base amounts based on the February forecast. Line 97 is the start of the change items. The governor had recommended including $24 million for acquisition of public lands. That is not included in the DE4. Line 98 through 101 are climate climate adaptation for natural lands and waters. The governor had $42 million one-time money for this. The DE4 includes $25 million for the for this purpose, and there's some carve-outs within the rider. You'll see $10 million for public water access sites, $10 million for fish hatchery improvements, and $5 million for native plant restoration at state parks. On line 102, you'll see the governor had a recommendation for forest management assistance of $5.5 million. That is not included in the DE4. The governor had a recommendation for to ensure aggregate mapping for local governments of $300,000 per year. The House has $300,000 the first year and $100,000 per year thereafter. On line 104, the governor had recommended increased capacity for broadband licensing of $246,000 per year. That is not included in the DE4. On line 105 through 108, you'll see the four provisions that were passed by the House earlier this year for drought relief. They are not included in this bill again, but these are the amounts and they were previously passed out of the committee. On line 109, the governor had a recommendation for $1.7 million for public safety response. That is not included in the DE4. On line 110 is restoring grassland and wetlands and WMAs for carbon capture resiliency. The governor recommends $10 million. The DE4 includes $5 million. Starting on line 111, you'll see appropriations for a number of the bills that are House bills. The first one would be the rough fish report. There's $250,000 one time for that. The Swan Protection Act, the language changed, so it's now focusing as a pilot for migratory stops instead of all the breeding waters, but there's $3 million one time for this purpose. On line 113 is groundwater storage funding for $421,000. On line 114 is the Rat River walleye stocking for $30,000. On line 115, there's $1.841 million for AIS grants. On line 116, you'll see farm survey requirements. This would be the fiscal note on, I believe it's House File 2814. It's a base adjustment in fiscal year 25 for the agency work of $1.383 million. On line 117, you'll see SNA maintenance funding of $3.3 million. On line 118 is ash tree replacement grants of $10 million. On line 119 is school tree planting grants of $1 million one time. On line 120 are water use public meeting requirements, $1 million in fiscal year 23 and $250,000 per year thereafter. On line 121 is the elk reintroduction bill for $1 million one time. On line 122 is an appropriation for $250,000 for the agency to conduct an RFP for the RT quick testing. On line 123 is chronic waste and disease response for the Grand Rapids area. It's a one-time appropriation of $500,000. Line 124 is an appropriation for the No Child Left Inside grant program. There's $600,000 in the first year and then $300,000 per year thereafter. On line 125 is an increase of $70,000 for the non-game wildlife program. That's ongoing, $70,000 per year. In total, the DNR is receiving $53.562 million from the general fund in the DE4. There are a couple of non-general fund changes. On line 128, you'll see the Game and Fish Fund change of a small appropriation for signage related to the non-toxic shot requirements on WMAs that you'll see in the bill. And then line 131, you'll see an increase of one-time $750,000 for the State Parks and Trails lottery in lieu account. In total, the appropriations to the DNR and the DA4 are $54.327 million. In line 136, you'll see some lost revenue related to the turtle taking provisions in this bill. And then line 137 are the lands bill changes that I'm just noting on the spreadsheet here. Going on to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, you'll see the change items start at line 147. We have the adaptation action grants and water storage. The governor had recommended $15 million one time and then $167,000 ongoing. The DE4 includes $10 million one time and the same amount ongoing. On line 148, there's some COVID unreimbursed cost of $595,000 as a governor's rec that is included in the DE4. Line 149 are Bowser's portion of the Healthy Soil Program. The governor had recommended $17 million and then $4.5 million ongoing. The DE4 includes 5 million one time. The line 150 is support for a tribal liaison. And this just funds it at the governor's recommended level. On line 151, there's an appropriation for $10 million for a CRP state incentive. On line 152 is the Lawns to Legumes program. It'd be $5 million in fiscal 23 and $1.25 million ongoing, per year ongoing. On line 153, there's $200,000 for the drainage registry. On line 154 is a conservation reserve enhancement program for $30 million. On line 155 is conservation tree planting of $8 million. And there's a carve out in that bill for $500,000 for invasive species management. In total, the general fund changes in the DE4 for water, water, and soil resources is $68,920,000. Going on to line 159 is the Conservation Corps of Minnesota. There's a line 163, I have it as one-time increase, but it's $500,000 increase in FY23, and then there's $250,000 per year ongoing. On line 166 is the start of the Metropolitan Council Parks and Water. On line 171, you'll see mapping infrastructure, climate risk, and resiliency opportunities. The governor recommended $5 million. The DE4 includes $2.5 million. On line 172 and 173, you'll see appropriations for inflow and infiltration. Half of it is for publicly owned lines, and then half of it is for privately owned lines. There's $2.5 million for each of those. On line 174 are lead service line replacement grants for $2.335 million. And then on line 175, there's a one-time parks increase of $2.5 million. And the general fund total for Met Council Parks is $12.335 million. There's also a change on line 178 out of the Metro Parks and Trails Lottery in lieu account of $750,000 one time. Going down to line 183 is a zoological board. There's a On 187, there's a one-time base adjustment in fiscal year 24 for prairie butterfly conservation of $45,000. On line 190 is a science museum in Minnesota. On line 194, there's a one-time appropriation of $500,000 for the science museum. Starting on line 197 is Explore Minnesota Tourism. The change items start on line 201. The governor had recommended $215,000 per year for additional administrative capacity. That is included in the DE4. On line 202, the tourism recovery grants that have been talked about a few times are included in the DE4 for $10 million. And then there's a specific grant to Grand Portage Band for tourism for $250,000. On line 206, you'll see the Minnesota Outdoor Recreation Office. That was the bill that was heard in committee. The office has created, there's a one-time appropriation in FY23 of $1.75 million, and there's $250,000 per year ongoing for this office. On line 211 is the University of Minnesota. There's a one-time appropriation of $180,000 for the Soil Health Action Plan. Line 216 is the MLCAT, the Metropolitan Landfill Contingency Action Trust Account repayment of $29,055,000, and this was based on the estimate provided by the Pollution Control Agency. On line 222 are the lottery and lieu changes. The formula and statute, the bill would bring it to 97% of the money going to lottery and lieu accounts. The cost for that is $11.85 million in the first year and then a little over $12 million per year thereafter. And then you can see this is the amount, just under $6 million would go into heritage enhancement each year, $2.666 the state parks account, $2.666 to the Metropolitan Parks account, $355,000 to local trail grants account, and there'd be $237,000 to the zoo's lottery and lieu account. If you get to line 235, you'll see the general fund appropriation change included in this bill is $240,050,000. On line 236, there's $50,000 of the revenue from the cancellation of the appropriation. So the net general fund change included in the DE4 is $240 million in FY23, and then the tails biennium is $35 million. And that is all I have for the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemeyer. Ms. Taylor, if you want to go next.
Sure. Madam Chair, members, I'm going to walk through the DE4 amendment coded H4492 DE4. And what I'm going to do is go through the statutory and other language changes and point out where things have come from and then any differences from when the committee last heard it, sort of how we've done it in the past. So I'm going to start on page 22 in Article 2. And the first section there, section one, is from Representative Dabney's House File 4356. That's the bill that established the Minnesota Outdoor Recreation Office. This is just the one section governing the salary limit of the new director. No changes here. Sections two and three are from a bill from last year, House File 718. They allowed a city to adopt ordinances that would prohibit the use of pollinator lethal pesticides. There are no changes from what the House carried in the omnibus bill last year. Sections four through six are all from the chair's House File 766. And the language is as it was laid over, and this is regarding the regulation of treated seeds. The next section would be section seven. This is from Representative Lippert's bill, House File 4537, establishing the peat soil goal. This is the language as it was last heard by the committee. Then moving on to page 25, section eight is another section from last year's bill. This is the one prohibiting the use of certain pesticides on state lands. This is originally from House File 1210. No changes from what was included in the omnibus bill. Section nine is another section from last year's omnibus bill. It was originally in Representative Acom's House File 228. It would require updates of the statewide invasive species management plan. The only difference from what was included last time is it has been updated with a new date to reflect the, it's been an additional year since the language was first put together. On page 26, section 10 is from Representative Erdahl's bill and the policy bill, adding the connection to the Greenleaf Lake State Rec area. No changes there. Section 11 on the bottom of page 26 is from Representative Jordan's bill, House File 4428, that increased various per diem rates for councils. All of them are included in this DE, but there's three sections that would have affected legacy funds, so those are not included. The section 11 is the one that would increase the per diems for the Minnesota Zoological Board, and there's no changes. Section 12 is the section establishing the Minnesota Outdoor Recreation Office. There were no changes to this language from when the committee heard it last. Want to skip ahead to page 30, sections 13 through 18. Are all from House File 3787, which established the new watercraft operator permit requirements, as well as some requirements for motorboat rental businesses. This language does reflect some changes that were made in the Transportation Committee, and I'll point out the more significant ones. You'll see on line 30.29, or country was added to the exemption language. So residents from other countries would also be exempted. And then if you want to go to page 33, there are some additional changes. Page 33, lines 10 through 12, there is a requirement that the exam that is used by the motorboat rental businesses be available electronically or on paper. And then at the bottom of that page, you'll see that there's an exemption for those who have already taken the test within 60 days. They would not be required to retake the test. The next section I'd want to point out would be section 19 on the top of page 35. This is another per diem increase. This is the one for the Minnesota Forest Resources Council. Section 20 is from the chair's House File 3774, the Minnesota Swan Protection Act. This is the definition of native swan, and there are no changes from what the committee saw. Sections 21 and 22 are from the DNR policy bill. There were no changes to this language. Section 21 expanded the purpose of the walk-in access program, and 22 was the one modifying provisions related to the use of motorized vehicles by those with a disability. Section 23 is the first of several sections from House File 387 from last year. This was the one that eliminated the turtle taking license or the turtle seller's license. This section is the one pertaining to the fees. There's no changes from what the committee passed last year. Section 24 is the non-toxic shock requirement for WMAs in the farmland zone. There are no changes from what was included last year, except for the date has been moved up a year. Section 25 is also from the Spawn Protection Act. This is, there's no changes here. This is the increased penalties for swan-related violations section. Sections 26 through 29 are more of the turtle seller license changes from last year. There were no changes to this language except on sections 28 on page 38 and section 29 and page 39. Some language was enacted last year, so this language is now reflecting just the changes that would be needed to conform to the removal of the turtle seller's license. Section 30 on the bottom of page 39 is another per diem increase. This is the one for the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Then moving to page 40, section 31, this is was included in the governor's budget and also House File 2719 that modified the use of the easement stewardship accounts handled by Bowser. There's no change to this language. Moving to page 42, section 32, this would statutorily create the Lawns to Legumes program. This is the language that was carried in the omnibus bill last year and there were no changes. Section 33 is from House File 3302. This established the soil health goals. There are no changes from what the committee heard. Section 34 is from House File 4274, creating the drainage registry information portal. There were no changes from what the committee heard. On the bottom of page 43, section 35, this is another section from House File 3302 that established the soil health cost share program. There were no changes from what the committee heard. On the bottom of page 44 are the first of several sections from Representative Becker-Finn's House File 3761 that expanded penalty authority of the DNR related to certain water violations. There were no changes from what the committee heard. On page 45 at the bottom, you'll see section 38. This is some language requiring public meetings before the issuance of certain water use permits. This is similar to language that was carried in the House Omnibus Bill, but it has been modified to change the threshold for when these meetings would be required, then also allowing for remote hearings. On page 46, section 39, this is also from House File 1294 from last year. This required DNR to make some determinations that recharge to an aquifer was sufficient to maintain sustainability. This is the language that was heard last year, no changes. Sections 40 through 44 are more sections from the Representative Becker-Finn's bill on the water related penalties. There were no changes here. And then we can skip ahead to page 50. On the bottom of that page is section 45. This is language that was taken from the governor's budget bill. And it was also similar to language that was carried last year in the House bill. It requires notification of downstream users, certain discharges. The language is slightly modified from last year's language. And one of the changes is if you'll look at lines 17 through 19, there's some language requiring the PCA to develop some guidance on those notifications. Section 46 is from last year's bill, originally from House File 258. It requires public meetings before finalizing settlements that are greater than 25,000. This is the language as it was in the omnibus bill. On page 52, section 47, this is language from the governor's budget bill. It establishes a stormwater infrastructure grant program intended to be funded with bonds issued for this purpose. There's some additional section in the governor's bill that is not being carried, however. The next section is section 48 on page 54. This is from House File 2211. establishing the multifamily building competitive grant program for composting. This is as it was laid over, and there were no changes here. Page 55, section 49, this is the zero waste grant program from House File 2661. This is as the committee heard it, except that the administration of the program has been changed from the pollution, or from D to the Pollution Control Agency. And we can skip ahead to page 59. Section 50 at the top of the page is another section from House File 766, regulating the use of treated seeds. There's no changes here. Section 51 is from the governor's budget bill. This is the change for the administration of the Brownsfield program, allowing them, the PCA to have a revolving account to pay those costs. The next section would be on page 60. Section 52 is also from the governor's budget. This is the 3M reporting changes. And this is as the governor had proposed. Sections 53 through 56 are the first of several sections from Representative Lee's 3146 on environmental justice. There were no changes to this language. These were the definitions. Sections 57 through 59, starting on the page 61, would statutorily define macroplastic, nanoplastic, and plastic. And in chapter 116, the definitions are the same that the committee has heard in bills like the Clean Water Fund. But this would statutorily create those definitions. On page 62, sections 60, and then going through section 62, are some additional sections from Representative Lee's House File 3146 on the environmental justice. There were no changes here from what the committee heard and laid over. Then the next section I want to point out would be section 63 on page 66. 63 and 64 are both from the House File 3947, regulating feedlots, requiring financial assurance, and then requiring the abandoned feedlot reporting and listing. There are no changes to what the committee heard. Section 65 on the bottom of page 67 is another section from Representative Lee's House File 3146. There were no changes here. On page 68, section 66 is another per diem increase section. This is the one for the EQB. Section 67 is also from Representative Lee's bill, the demographic analysis. There's no changes from what the committee heard here. Section 68 is another section with a per diem increase. This one is for the LCCMR public members. And then on page 69, section 69 is another section from the watercraft operators license bill. There were no changes from what the committee heard. On page 70, section 70 is a section from Representative Torkelson's House File 2162, which allowed counties to spend certain revenues from tax forfeited lands on cleanup and remediation. There were no changes here. Section 71 is the section with the lottery and lieu increase that is on the spreadsheet. This is the language, and it's at 97%. As it was heard by the committee. The next section is section 72 on page 74. This is from the governor's budget bill. This is the language that would ban certain products that contain lead and cadmium, and that would be effective July 1st, 2023. And this is the language as the governor proposed. Section 73 on the bottom of 70, page 75 is the provision from the lands bill amendment we heard. That originally was from Representative Drazkowski pertaining to the county ordinances and non-conforming uses. This is as the committee heard it. Sections 74 through 77 are definitions related to lead service lines. These would be statutorily created in Chapter 473, and the definitions are the same as those that were heard in the bill that was heard in committee on Friday. Section 78 is from the DNR policy bill. This is some conforming rulemaking related to the motorized vehicle use by folks with disabilities. Section 79 and 80 are both from Representative Lee's House File 3146. I do want to point out that you'll see in Section 80 on page 79, there was some corresponding statutory language that was inadvertently left out of the DE4, which I believe will be added via the author's amendment. Section 81 on page 81 establishes the Pig's Eye Landfill Task Force. This is as the committee had heard it. Section 82 on page 83 is another section from the Turtle Sellers Licensing Bill. This is as it was carried in the House bill last time. Section 83 is another section from House File 766, the seed disposal rulemaking. No changes from what the committee heard. Section 84 is from the Swan Protection Act bill. This has been modified from what the committee originally heard. As Mr. Hagemeyer mentioned, it now is narrowed to the Swan Migration Corridor, and the areas would be designated Swan resting areas within that corridor. The public notice and meeting provisions would be the same, but the prohibition would be on the use of lead sinkers now. There'd also be a reporting requirement of the DNR on the implementation, and then it does sunset instead of more of a pilot. Section 85 is also from the Swan Protection Act. It is the restitution values and is identical to what the committee heard previously. Section 86 is from House File 3947. This is the same as the committee heard it. Section 87 is from House File 4190, requiring implementation of the recommendations of the legislative auditor for the petroleum tank release cleanup program. This is as the committee heard it. Section 80, or page 86, section 88 is the carpet stewardship program report required in last year's omnibus bill. And this is as it was carried in the bill originally, except updated with a new date. Section 89 is the repealers. Paragraph A is related to the turtle sellers license. Paragraph B are provisions for lead and cadmium that are no longer needed due to the governor's new proposal. And then paragraph C is the watercraft operator license changes from that bill. And those are the same as originally proposed. Article 3 is pertaining to the Farm Survey and CWD. The article reflects House File 4126, the first engrossment. I don't believe the committee heard that bill, but many elements were included in House Files 3273 and 2014 that the committee did hear. I'm just going to quick point out what sections came from where. Section 1 is from 3273, the amendment, and there were no changes from what the committee heard. Section 2 combines some provisions from House File 2814 and 3273. The new paragraphs D and E are from 2814, and the paragraphs F and G are from 3273, and there are no changes there. Section 73 combines some language from House File 2814 and 4126. The new language the committee may have not seen is on line 89.11 and 89.12. This would require repairs to be done within 14 days. Section 4 is from House File 2814, and that's as the committee heard it in the bill. Section 5 is from House File 4126. This establishes some new ID requirements for white-tailed deer, and that is how it was in 4126. Section 6 is from House File 3273. If you remember, there were some differences between the two bills the committee heard. House File 3273 would allow for transfers to family members. On page 91, Section 7, this combines a number of provisions from House File 2814, 4126, and 3273, as well as some new language on 91.17 through 91.19. Section 8 on page 92 is from 4126. It establishes some importation restrictions. on wild turbid day. Section 9 is from House File 2814. There were no changes from what the committee heard, except for there was additional time. You'll see it's December 31st, 2022 for the testing now. Section 10 is also from 2814. There were no changes here, or were there on Section 11 regarding the transfer of duties from the Board of Animal Health to DNR. Article 4 has a number of PFAS and other related provisions. Section 1 is from House File 3180, banning certain carpets and textiles containing PFAS. This is as the committee heard it, except for the date has been changed to January 1st, 2025 for its effective date. And you'll see that on many of these PFAS bills that are now effective January 1st, 2025. Section 2 is from House File 2907. This is the one for cookware. Section 3 is from House File 2906, banning PFAS in cosmetics, and it's also been amended for 2025. Section 4 is from House File 3571. This is the juvenile products. Again, there's no changes except for that date of January 1st, 2025. Section 5 on page 97 is from House File 2952. This is the ski wax PFAS ban, again, effective January 1st, 2025. Section 6 is the disclosure requirements for intentionally added PFAS from House File 3075. It is also effective January 1st, 2025. Section 7 is some language from last year, Bill, House File 1165, that would establish some standards for labeling certain items as compostable. And this is the language that was carried in the House Omnibus Bill, no changes. Skipping to page 102, sections 8 and 9 are from Representative Becker Finn's House File 3686, regulating the use of firefighting foam containing PFAS. This is as the committee heard it. Section 10 is from House File 78 from last year, requiring certain PFAS to have water quality standards. This is the language as it was heard last or carried in the omnibus bill last year. It's just been updated for a new date, as the same as for Section 11. This is from House File 79, also carried in the omnibus bill last year. There were no changes except for the date, and this was required the adoption of health risk limits for PFOS. And then the final article is Article 5. This is basically the state lands bill as it was laid over and amended. And there were no changes except for the one non-conforming use section was added to Article 2 instead of here. And that concludes the walkthrough of the DE4.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Now at this time, we're gonna open it up for member questions. We do have several folks on the meeting who can help answer those questions if you have them. Not seeing any hands, we'll give it another minute here, and it's a lot to digest. Mr. Strohmeyer, is there anybody here from Department of Health? They don't have a lot in this bill, but there are a few pieces where they're mentioned. Do you know if there's anyone here from that department?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. I had a question for them, but I'll reach out to them individually. All right. I don't see any member hands popping up. So, Representative Hansen, did you have anything else you wanted to say, any announcements or anything else you wanted to share with the committee before we adjourn?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. We walk through kind of the process in the next few days. It's also posted. Happy to take comments. I know that there are some members working on amendments to clarify things. This is a comprehensive bill. This bill reflects the priorities that we have heard not only this year, but also last year. As I mentioned last week, we're focusing on the future, while we are also righting past wrongs. The lottery in lieu of and the MLCAT corrections to longstanding errors are needed and essential at this moment in time. What this bill does is it also lays the foundation for the future, where we're looking at various contaminants, but also looking at long-term carbon storage, providing for wildlife habitat and water quality. It's a comprehensive approach, looking at contaminants, but also conservation, looking at how do we each of these agencies work. I do want to highlight a couple of the smaller agencies, specifically Minnesota Conservation Corps. We heard testimony about wages not keeping up with the demand. And if we are going to provide for a more diverse workforce in the outdoors, we need to make sure that we're keeping up and are competitive. So we put money in there, not only one time, but ongoing, to help jumpstart and have the Conservation Corps, which I think everyone agrees is a good program, modernize, make sure it has good wages, and provide for the future. In addition, with COVID, we have agencies that had some costs and expenses. Last time, we provided some federal money for both the zoo and the science museum. We put some additional money in for the science museum, some for the zoo to continue with their ongoing research that is critical, and then also for the Board of Water and Soil Resources for their COVID expenses. Those little amounts may not seem like much, but they're very important for the smaller agencies. The bigger agencies, we believe that our priorities are good. We believe that they reflect, but we also put new things in. Representative Lee's or Chair Lee's environmental justice provisions we have talked about in these committees as long as Chair Lee has been in the legislature. And with the fiscal note, we are funding the fiscal. We are recognizing that environmental justice injustices occurred and that they need to be fixed. And we also noted that we've spent a lot of effort on water quality over the last 30 years. We need to bring air quality and the air quality focus up in terms of a priority, and this bill does that. So thank you, members. I look forward to the discussion in the next few days. This is a good bill, and I'd ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. And with no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.